The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord God.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come, lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. You have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people wailing and weeping loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kaum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. If we could begin with our tradition of praying for vocations. It's also in your order of worship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech thee, bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our homes those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. Pray for our priests and religious. Obtain for us many more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, today marks our entrance into July, right? And in our faith tradition, June was set aside for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. July is set aside for the precious blood of Jesus, okay? And so I'm actually going to be encouraging more and more that we all enter into what's called the Auxilium Christianorum, that's led by Father Ripperger, one of the leading lights among the exorcists in the United States, an amazing speaker. I think I've said this before, but if you can go onto YouTube and listen to some of his talks, you'll become literally addicted. I mean, he's just that powerful. But he promotes what's called the Auxilium Christianorum, and part of the prayers that we pray daily, okay, as part of a big army, is the Litany of the Precious Blood. It's just beautiful. I actually ordered 20 more books. I ordered 10 before, and I'm out now. So I ordered 20 more, and they're on their way. They'll be here for sure by next week. But you can also get it online. I'm also going to post it on my teaching blog at RomanCatholicMan.com. So we enter into the month of the precious blood of Jesus. Also, today marks the beginning of a new era for me. I'm now a former Wisconsin KC state chaplain because they only give you two-year terms. I actually had a three-year term because I took a year after Bishop Hying was relocated to, I always forget the place he's, he was made a bishop in another diocese, and so they took me for a year, his last year, and also the 2 years after that. So I've been actually for 3 years, but it's a limit of two years for each state chaplain. So the new state chaplain starts today. I'm a former state chaplain. Lots of new beginnings. You know, this particular gospel story. Actually, as I watched this synagogue official and this woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, I hearkened back as I was praying and reflecting about upon this to George Bailey. I don't know if you all are geek out about It's a Wonderful Life, the movie. I think I've seen it about 400 times. I love that movie. I could probably give every line that was ever given in the movie by now. But there is a powerful moment. In fact, many acclaim it as one of the most powerful movies or moments in all of cinematic history. And that's that moment where George is at his wit's end, okay? Everything is going wrong. And lots of bad things are about to happen to the town, to his family. And he doesn't know what to do any longer. So he ends up in a bar, martinis. And there he is at the bar. He's got his drink in front of him. And he's in anguish. Probably all of you are recalling the scene I'm talking about. And in that moment, he says, God, if you're out there, I'm not much of a praying man, but I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way. Show me the way. We saw in today's gospel, the synagogue official, his daughter was dying. I'm not a father of a little child, but I'm the father of many families and children. I don't have a parent's heart, but I do have a heart. And one can't imagine that feeling. Maybe some of you have already gone through that. In a way, I went through it when my brother at 21 years old died. You can't imagine the anguish of a parent, or I know you can. My daughter has died, or is dying. This is a synagogue official. His reputation is on the line. Jesus, up to that point, is seen as some kind of, you know, freak that's preaching something over there. It's not from our religion, you know. They mock him. They try to defame him. But this man is at the end of his rope. And he comes to him. No, he throws himself at Jesus' feet in front of God and everyone and says, my daughter is dying. I believe if you just lay hands on her, she will live. And if it couldn't get worse, as they're hiding to heal her, word is sent that she's already died. Why bother the teacher any longer? As if God does not have power over death itself. You see, here's what's at stake. Either we believe in the supernatural power of God or we don't. I know you all have your stories, I have mine. Of course, one that lives loudly in my mind is that moment when my sister was told by the doctors there's nothing anyone can do now to save her son. He'll be gone in a matter of hours. And when she came to the waiting room where the whole family was in tears, I got like this. Not on my watch. Believe. And I left that waiting room. And I stood outside of his room in the trauma center. Hail Mary. Hail Mary. Hail Mary. I believe. And word came to my heart. This will not end in death. I went back to the waiting room after praying all the mysteries of the rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, after calling upon all the saints and angels and receiving that word in my heart. I got down on a knee before my sister, who was inconsolable, and I said, "This will not end in death." And she looked at me like, "Did the doctors tell you something? What's going on?" I believe. Everyone left later that day thinking we'll hear word at some time during the night. Word never came. The next morning I got ready to prepare my sermon for that weekend. I looked for the first time at what the readings would be for that weekend. It was the raising of Lazarus. And the very words in the scripture were, "This will not end in death." And at that moment I read those words, that Saturday morning, texts and emails and phone calls. He had a turn in the middle of the night. There's a chance. The doctors have hope once again. You see, they gave him a 0.5% chance because they never want to say never. Now, maybe 50-50. My brothers and sisters, you and I have been assailed by secularism, a war on the supernatural that's allowed us to despair, that's allowed us to become whiners. Oh, look how bad the church is. Oh, look how bad the world is. Oh. Well, I don't know about you, and I do know about you, because we have been in this together. When we saw a multitude leaving the church, we knew the prescription. We're going to stop turning this mass into a playground, into a musical, Broadway musical, into a nightclub act, into a social gathering. This is God or it's not. We worship as if it's God or it's not. And we set our souls, we set our hearts on the mission of worshiping that this is God. This is God. Many of us caught in our sins. Do we believe in the supernatural power of grace or not? Do we believe that with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible, or not? So if we believe in that, and we've fallen to sin, and the power has come off of us, Like the woman caught in a hemorrhage, we fall. We want to touch the tassel of his garment, where he felt power come out of him. Every time we go to that sacrament of confession, that's exactly what happens. We're touching the tassel of his garment, and boom! We are empowered once again. And so we offer confession all the time here. All the time. Every moment of every day. Give me a call. Now, check the app. We're not living as holy and supernaturalized soul. I know. Let's have at least once a month so we can get it in our bones. Let's have at least once a month where we kneel together first as men. Noble knights kneeling before the exposed Blessed Sacrament, our King, together. While we stick a priest in the box. We've been doing that for 11 years now. And now the ladies are doing it as well. That adoration where hardened hearts are made soft again. Where we kneel before what the world believes is a cracker. So that we can get it in our bones. This is God. And we promote adoration as much as we can. Writing about the sacrament of penance, Pope Pius XII, in his encyclical, Mystici Corporis Christi. But to ensure more rapid progress day by day in the path of virtue, we will that the pious practice of frequent confession, which was introduced into the church by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, should be earnestly advocated. By it, genuine self-knowledge is increased. Christian humility grows. Bad habits are corrected. Spiritual neglect and tepidity are resisted. The conscience is purified, the will strengthened, a salutary self-control is attained, and grace is increased in virtue of the sacrament itself. Let those, therefore, among the younger clergy who make light of or less in esteem for frequent confession realize that what they are doing is alien to the Spirit of Christ and disastrous for the mystical body of our Savior. There is no better medicine for the ills and wounds of the soul than frequent confession when made with a humble, sincere, and contrite heart. Jesus awaits us in the sacrament of his merciful love, not only to cleanse our soul in his precious blood, but also to strengthen it in this salutary bath, fortify it, and guard it against future attacks of temptation and evil. Confession applies to our soul all the merits of the passion of Jesus, all the infinite value of his blood. We shall always return from the sacraments renewed, sanctified, and strengthened in good in the measure in which we have approached it with a contrite and humble heart. Confession, adoration, sacred worship. We lament at the way the world is right now. As we speak this morning, there are riots and protests around the nation because it's the weekend, I guess. It's going on all over the place, seems to be going on all over time. We're unhinged as a culture. Detached, this word synonymous with unhinged. We're detached from the divine life of God. What can we do? Should we whine and complain? Should we bow our head and give up hope? Why bother the teacher? The doctor's 0.5% chance to my sister. What should we do? Let's bow our heads and give up. No! What if we got millions of people around this planet to gather together and call upon the merciful love of God through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary? Let's try that. See, hope, my brothers and sisters, not despair. There's problems afoot. The enemy rages all around us. We're at the end of our rope. God, I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way. Show me the way. And he does. And he does. My brothers and sisters, I love you dearly. We're in this fight together. We are not St. Mary of whiners. We are not St. Mary of despair. We are not St. Mary of victims. We are St. Mary of Pine Bluff. Victors under the power of God. I'm going in.